opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio from the North Strait. This is Trish Clark. Carl and Linda are not with us this morning. They're on assignment. And so we're going to have the Thursday girl, but it's not Thursday. So I'm joined this morning in the studio by, of course, Bob Belongi, my engineer, who keeps me absolutely sane and hopefully on track.
No, that could be a big job.
I know. And I have a special guest for the first hour, Jeff Keyser, from the city manager from the city of Anderson.
Good morning.
So we got lots to talk about there. It is 44 degrees in the downtown Reading studio. We're looking for a high of 68 today and a low of 47. Chance of showers and then partly cloudy on Wednesday. It's going to be mostly sunny with a chance of rain and a high of 70. Wednesday night, a low of 49 and rain likely. Thursday, showers likely, 65 and a low of about 47 again. It looks like we had a chance of rain through the rest of the week, and it's looking good. And the weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. You can give them a call at 365-3793.
And I need to let you know this opening portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by Properties by Merit and agent Mary McCurdy. Her goal is to help all of her clients with their real estate needs and to find their dream home. She's passionate about working with her clients from start to finish. Check out her website at marymccurdy.com to see her exclusive listings or call her at 949-1550. And Mary spells her name with an I, so it's marymccurdy.com. That's Properties by Merit.
All right. So there's so many questions whirling around out there in the world about the city of Anderson. And we always hear great things about what's happening down there. And
of course.
We just opened up some new coffee thing and a gas station. And what? Tell
us
all
week
about
ago today, Dutch Bros opened its door with its 24 hours of free coffee, 8,000 cups. And that worked out to be one every 10 seconds. Just amazing. Line all the way down Ronda Road, past Starbucks. Just a great thing for the city of Anderson. And we've long wanted Dutch Bros in the area. And so we're very happy Chris and Aaron finally chose to build there. But along with that, we have Arco, we have AMPM, we have Chicken Shack, and Pop's Philly Cheesesteak. So that little blank corner is now a very busy place, and some of the cheapest gas in the county, too, I've noticed. So.
Yes, I've noticed as I've gone by, and I have to admit, I'm not totally into the fast food thing, so I haven't really actually stopped here there yet, but I notice that every time I do go by, there's people. They're doing well.
I've actually been into Chicken Shack a couple times myself, and Chicken Shack's been here in Reading a couple locations, and we're pleased to have them down there. I mean, they kind of prepare a fresh fast food, if you will, cooked to order, and we needed some eating places in Anderson, so it's nice to see that open up down there.
And there's a lot of other property that's zoned and ready to go and shovel ready for projects.
Absolutely.
And there's some big projects floating around out there.
There is. We're ready.
From the chat room already, the questions coming in about the 800-pound wholesale retail gorilla.
Exactly. And as I queried Jeff as I walked in this morning, I said, so when are we breaking ground on Costco down in Anderson? And his answer was,
right away. the city of Anderson would love to see a retail establishment like that. And I think we're pretty pleased just that the media has thrown it our way. But I think our town has a lot to offer. I mean, you live down there, you kind of know. We do have I-5 frontage property available. The city's been wise in their decisions. Almost all that property has utilities to it and transportation infrastructure to it. So whether it's Costco or another big box, our city is ready, willing, and able to move those kind of projects ahead along the I-5 corridor.
and people are asking, and this is probably a kind of question you can't answer until because these are the sorts of things that need to be done without huge amounts of fanfare. Is there any discussions going on, is the question from the chat room.
Well, let's talk about how that really works in the real world. So I work at a government entity. If you're Costco or another big retail developer, you're not going to go to the city and put things in writing first, because all that's public record requestable.
Exactly.
So those kind of deals really play out between a developer, a landowner, and the business before they come to us. They know what they're doing. They understand planning. They understand fees. So they kind of have all that worked out, and then they come to us after they have secured property and those kind of things. But, you know, those people are floating out there right now. And I think they're one of only many that are looking here in the North State. I think Anderson is really poised. You know, you can only go so far north before you run into the lake. So growth will probably migrate south. And I think it's important that our town has prepared itself for that kind of growth. And whether it's Costco or another big box or something totally that we're not even thinking about right now, our city's ready for that.
Well, and one of the things we've watched in the North State over many, many years is the fact that when a project comes alive and decides, somebody comes, one of these developers comes in, and they look at a piece of property, there are so many hoops and so many things that need to be done, so much bureaucracy in the way, as you indicated. They don't have a rail for the railroad, or they don't have sewer, or they don't have water, there's issues, and so you find that it takes forever to get through that environmental review process and everything. One of the advantages the city of Anderson has is that, in fact, we have this property. Sewer's already there. Water's already there.
Absolutely.
The railroad spur's there. We're right on I-5. Out in the area around Walmart and the big shopping center out there, the factory stores and everything, we have the new transportation thing already in.
Absolutely. We've taken the time to figure out how to improve some of our interchanges so they could be built on right away without having to mitigate traffic impacts for years to come. I think it's important, though, the city's kind of taken a step beyond that, though, and if you've kind of watched the paper, it's kind of been in the lower headlines because of the Costco issue, but we've actually brought forward to council a proposal of three different items to try and enhance development and give us some ammunition to go out there as we travel to various trade shows. One of them is a development impact fee moratorium or a fee reduction. I think that could be very beneficial to our commercial users. The second is a fast-track process. So when you come to us with the project, we're going to push that project through and help you achieve your goals as quick as possible by law. And then also, I want to develop a hot sheet. So what are our retail commercial properties available along that I-5 corridor so when I'm like at ICSC in Vegas, that I can market that to the various developers and stores that are there. Let them know what Anderson has to offer.
Well, and those, I mean, I've been around this marketplace for a long time, and one of my big complaints has always been the amount of time that it takes because of the attitude of the planning departments to get something done.
Absolutely.
It's almost like, how can we make this more difficult for you and make me look more important? And it's been a big complaint of mine forever. Our attitude when they walk in the door is, as you indicated, should be, how can I make you successful? How can I move this project on, bring these jobs and this revenue into our community for our citizens?
I guess what I find really frustrating, in California, there's already a lot of hurdles.
Oh, wow.
They're not created by the city, the county, anyone else. It comes with hurdles, so if we cannot add to that burden but help them achieve their goals, that's a win-win for us. It's a win for them. It's a win for our citizens.
Absolutely, and I know that the city of Anderson is doing that, and I watch your agenda very closely and the things that you're bringing to your council. Right now you've got a council that's willing to work with you and move forward and is active out there. I know that all kinds of discussions with all kinds of people are going on behind the lines and everything, and I guarantee this audience that we'll be the first to know when we actually have something we can say out loud.
Absolutely.
And we're going to break away here for a moment. If you want to have more fun in 2016, the Reading Civic Auditorium has you covered. C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, now a critically acclaimed theatrical masterpiece. The Associated Press calls it devilishly funny. Don't miss it. March the 4th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. KCNR time is coming up on 7:15.
Your mind. take a chance on the third chain line. Take a chance, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. Take a chance if you need me. Let me know, gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
Don't miss it, the Reading Gun Show, this weekend only. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammo, and, of course, reloading supplies. This weekend only, the Reading Gun Show at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. Jump into our chat room at KCNR1460.com, and Bob will feed me the information from time to time. Or give us a call if you have a question for the city manager of the city of Anderson, the city on the move, 605-4567. And Jeff and I are just kind of talking about some of the stuff down in the South County, basically, in the city of Anderson. And we recently read in the paper where we had a issue down at the sewer plant. Down it, which is a lot of people, and that, I think I always find this interesting. We have that wonderful park down in the city of Anderson, the Anderson River Park, and it's all the river running through, and it's all very rustic and not covered over with cement and very usable and really pretty and cool in the summertime. And right in the middle of that is our sanitation sewer treatment plant.
Our wastewater
treatment plant. And a lot of people just honestly do not even know it's there.
That's a good thing.
It's a perfect thing. I mean, it proves that if you have a well-operated, balanced system, it doesn't have to be an issue.
And, right. It can function very well right amongst everybody and other activities.
So I've been many times have I been at picnics or functions down there, and that subject will come up, and everybody will go, no way.
Yeah, there are days, though, we will admit.
And then you go. So a while back, we made the papers a couple of times with some kind of an imbalance.
Yeah, so what really happened with that is we're a tertiary plant, and so you use a couple different chemicals to purify the system, if you will, both chlorine and sulfur dioxide. That comes in big tanks from a vendor. And this case, the crew loaded in a sulfur dioxide tank, comes in a crane into the building. And when they hooked the tank up, we got a little liquid into the gas side. So there's two tubes coming out of a tank. Bottom brings liquid gas out. The top brings vapor out. Because of a malfunction in the tank lines, they got a little bit of liquid into the line. So 5/8 tube, couple inches of liquid. And when that starts to off-gas, it can expand like 400 times. And so that set the alarms off. Of course, we have a process while we're doing that. The guys have masks on, and somebody has their hand on the emergency kill button for everything. So it actually automatically turns the tank off. And so they followed their SOP, or their safe operating practices, and did all those things. But in doing so, then, we have to follow process and bring SMRT out to make sure it is safe. And SMRT goes through their process, which is the Shasta County Hazardous Material Response Team. They enter the building in all the proper clothing, check it out. They actually remove the tube, in this case, set it outside so it could vent, ventilated the building, and then we were able to go back in and correct the issues. So, but there's a process that has to be followed for everyone's safety, our employee safety, the public safety. You know, the park's evacuated for precautionary reasons. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Accidents happen or things happen. In this case, it's nothing that our employees did. They perform very professionally and as trained, but things can happen. In this case, the tank got a small hole in it in the internal line, which allowed the liquid to get into the vapor side. So those things happen, but it's a matter of how we respond to them, in my opinion, and make sure we're doing the right thing at that time.
How big of an area did we actually have to evacuate?
Well, in this case, it just made sense to evacuate the whole park from Rupert to Dotson, because otherwise it's very hard for the law enforcement to control people.
Exactly.
And so although it didn't need to be that big, there's just no other really common, easy points to do that with other than, say, Rupert and Dotson, and just keep people out. And again, when you have an initial call, you don't know. And
sure.
So you need to set up a safety precaution zone for worst case.
Yeah. Okay. And so did that actually, because I've had people ask me this question, did that actually entail taking all the people out of the trailer parks or just not letting them come in and out?
No, just stopping the traffic there at that point.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because that was a big concern, because as you come down on the Rupert Road side, you end up with two trailer parks
right there. And what people should know, though, is one thing here in Shasta County, we're pretty blessed with our hazardous response team. Chief Gray out of Redding actually runs that. And so when they pull up in their mobile vehicle that has all the equipment stuff, it has a weather little system on it. So, you know, wind is monitored. So they know which way things were going and can take those precautions. Had it been maybe possibly going towards a more populated area, maybe the response or the evacuation process would have been different initially. But once they got set up, saw where the wind was and saw what they needed to do, then, the process goes from there.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this morning, because it does point to the fact that none of us here in the North State are an island of ourselves. We have created this wonderful system where we have the mutual response with
absolutely.
Our police departments, our fire departments.
Almost all of our emergency services,
the emergency
actually.
Services, as soon as something happens any place in Shasta County, it we have all the help we need.
Absolutely.
In a hurry, because of the good systems and great working relationships that we've created from the city managers and city and county executive officer right down through the police.
But it is really what your government should be doing for you as a citizen in this region.
It absolutely but it doesn't always do that.
Well, let's hope it does, and let's hope we're all working towards that direction, because we're not a big enough metropolitan area to have those resources individually, and we need to work together for the benefit of our citizens and region.
Well, and that's absolutely right. Not only just within, you need to be sure that, and that starts with your at the top with your city manager or county executive officer, and right down through your city council
and
supervisors. And it's important always to be paying attention to those relationships and making sure that that whole system's working good. Because if not, you can get into a big problem in
absolutely
a hurry with something.
Well,
like
and
a,
also
a
very expensive
fire
problem, too.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's nice to see. You're going to see Anderson Fire, for example, here have a new ladder truck coming.
Yes, we
and
are.
And that's an awesome thing for our little community, too. You know, we have one ladder truck really in the county right now, and that's here in Redding. If that truck is out of service or busy, the response has to come out of Red Bluff. So adding the second ladder truck and it being in the South County is a huge benefit to our region.
Yeah, and that's and I've had the chief on talking about that a couple of times, and when we get closer to the delivery date, which is coming up pretty shortly.
Here in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, pretty shortly. We'll be doing an open house down there at the fire department to let everyone see that, and then we'll be on talking about that again.
Fantastic.
Because it's a big improvement for the city of Anderson and the Anderson Fire Protection District.
You bet. It really is.
Yeah, it is. So, okay, we've talked about... let's go back just a minute to the other pieces of property. Everybody always thinks about the area out around the factory stores, the new annexed area and what have you, but there's another just beautiful area in the city of Anderson, which people don't think about, that's zoned commercially and ready for development, and that's down by the Gaia Hotel.
Yeah, you really need to... Anderson's a corridor,
yeah,
all the way from the river to Cottonwood Hill, and if you really kind of look, do a Google Earth type thing, there is open, available commercial property all the way from the river, actually all the way down to Cottonwood Hill.
And so, that's exactly right, starting clear down.
Right. I mean, you can think Riverside area. There's significant property there by the Gaia Hotel, both between the Gaia and I-5 and just across the street. If you look just south of Camping World, there's some big parcels there also. And then, obviously, even, Trish, if you think, right downtown on McMurray. I mean, between Rite Aid and Ganyan, there's a big piece of commercial property, too.
And there is. And then what you didn't see is you go down North Street in Anderson. Just recently, we did a whole bunch of clearing.
Yeah, that landowner came in, and we had a little bit of a code enforcement issue, and they really stepped up and came in and did some undergrowth cutting of the brush and stuff and cleaned that piece up. There's actually two large parcels there, both that piece and then where the strawberry fields are. So there's that. And then you can continue down behind the Gateway Center, actually all the way to Deschutes, and there's very developable property, too.
And all
in addition to Roseburg.
Exactly.
And so lots of available property. And again, the city's known this for a long time, and slowly they've been trying to work on utility infrastructure and transportation infrastructure. See, all that is master planned someday for road extensions, Gateway down to Deschutes, and Auto Mall down to North Street. So as development happens, the city's ready.
And I think this is good, and I'm glad to see you're out marketing. One of the things we complain about is that we all have a long list of people who have come here and looked and left, didn't stay for this reason or that reason or another reason. And because the city of Redding and Shasta County have developed, as and I would say justifiably so, a reputation somewhat of not being particularly friendly in the last few years. We've had some big projects that have gone away because they haven't, they just can't get through the paperwork. I think we keep trying to sell a message that the city of Anderson is different than... And you can get through the process, and I think we've got some new business owners down there who certainly would testify to that, because from the start to finish on this last little project there, that went really quickly.
We can get you through pretty quick.
Yeah.
And again, though, a lot of background work has been done, and then our organizational makeup's a little different than our neighbors, too. Not a whole lot of employees in City Hall. We fill our needs with consultants and contractors. And again, for a little city of a little over 10,000, that's a better business model. In my engineering department, we have one full-time employee, another part-time, but I can't employ the latest and greatest CAD system and plotters and all those things you need to run a full-blown engineering department, but I have a bunch of consultants right here in Shasta County that do every day, and why not take advantage of them? Same thing with my planning department. Right now, about a year ago, we actually downsized, still did a layoff, and we're using a part-time planner consultant. And it's fantastic. He has all the latest and greatest. He works in a few different cities. And if we were to get a project, we'll bring another contract planner on to help facilitate that project. And then when that need goes away, So can that consultant go back and work in other cities? But it's a much better value for our dollar in our town.
Well, and exactly, because that's the point. You got people down there, and you're trying to keep them busy. Usually that translates to irritating the people that are already there with bureaucracy that doesn't need to be there because they have to have an excuse for being
there.
Well,
there does seem to be something in government. In slow times, they create unnecessary regulation. There's no need to do that.
Well, and that's exactly my point. So we'll pick this topic up on the other side, and we're going to take a break right now.
This portion of the row of the show, I should say, at 729, brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents to take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds March 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino in Elements Lounge. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me as I sing my favorite jazz standards along with Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest, Bernie Baker on guitar. Enjoy the special steak and lobster from the Romance on the River menu. Thursday, March 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. in Elements. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460 AM radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call. Certainly you've got a burning question out there that the city manager of the city of Anderson could answer. Give us a call at 605-4567. It's 44 degrees outside and we're looking for a high of 68. Weather's brought to us always by Shasta Gas Propane.
So, and Anderson business.
and Anderson Business. Absolutely. Just recently moved down to that new annexed area out by where the old Roseburg property. So, Jeff, police department, a while back, the city of Anderson passed an extra half-cent sales tax.
Absolutely.
That, in fact, was just a majority. It didn't...
Simple majority.
Simple majority, so the city of Anderson is not bound to do anything with it, but they did promise, and there was a promissory measure that went with it, or an advisory measure.
Advisory measure, correct.
Yeah, that went with it, that indicated what the people wanted done with it, and they were talking public safety.
Absolutely. So what we did, the advisory measure said at least 50% to the police department, and then 50% to other general fund needs, restoring reserves, parks, those kind of things. But you're right, that's discretionary money for the council. But what's extremely important to me and the council is we do what we said we were going to do. And let's talk about that a little bit. Right away, we hired three officers. Those three officers are out on the street making a difference today. We're adding a second dog. If you've read the paper here in the last few days, you'll see tonight before the council, we have a reserve program. Now, a reserve program is important to us because, you know, for example, we had the double homicide. That takes our whole department to focus on that effort. So if we could bring in a reserve officer to pick up patrol, again, they're experienced, generally retired officers with their post certification, they could continue patrol while we, you know, combat the issue at hand. Also, those people have a lot of institutional knowledge. They can help with the training needs and some of those things. Now, they're not going to be full-time people. That's not what we're looking to do. But as we have gaps, it gives us another resource to do. The other thing we...
Center a little more on the reserve, because I think that's an important thing that's out there available for us. And I know that the fire chief has been making a really good use of the
Absolutely.
Reserve program. Because as you indicate, these are people, generally retired, who have their post-certification. They live in our community. They have the time to, but they don't want to work full time.
Right.
So this is a win-win for both.
It really is a win-win because they need so many hours a month to maintain their post certification, and they're already a retired benefited employee from somewhere, whether it's us or somewhere else. So our salary for that's only $20 an hour, and so it's a very feasible solution to help fill in some gaps.
As opposed to what would a regular benefits, everything.
You're loaded in that $40 to $50 an hour range.
Exactly.
And if not more, by the time you really add in all the insurance and all the things that go with that. So it's a very economical solution to helping fill intermittent spots as needed. And again, though, there's institutional knowledge and things those senior people bring. And so it's a win-win for us. Something else, we've been able to really do a lot with our POP team, our proactive policing. And I think Chief Johnson's, he stated this quite a bit, having the Measure A money has allowed us to move from 100% reactive to doing a lot of proactive things. And nothing is better in policing than if you can be proactive. It gives us the ability to fund some special operations, whether it be, you know, warrant checkups or, hey, we think this house has X, Y, and Z going on. We can get involved in those things and do some of that. And that's critically important to our community to maintain the level of safety that our community is asked to have. And so from the city manager side, I want the people to know we're doing exactly what we said we would do with the money. Excuse me, right now we're actually flying a parks maintenance worker. Again, we've been down to one full-time park worker for a long time. We have 400 and some acres of parks. It's time to add that second person. We're putting back $500,000 back to reserves. We're not quite to the council threshold of 20 to 25%, but we're getting close. We're at 19-something, I think. So it's important we do what we said, and it's important the public knows what we're doing with that money that they voted to give us for those purposes.
Well, and in line with that, speaking about the police department, I know that Chief Johnson does hold regular monthly meetings in the city.
Coffee with the chief is quarterly at this point in time. We started out monthly, and that kind of wore down a little bit, so quarterly seems to be the right fit. But, yeah, quarterly, he has a coffee with the chief. It's generally there at Vittles at about 7:30 in the morning. Fantastic little thing where the community can come out and talk to the chief. I'm there. There's other people there. We're in an informal setting. If you have questions or concerns, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I've lived in the city of Anderson since 1977, and it's a nice, friendly community. It hasn't grown all that large. We still know each other and have our neighbors. We also have a pretty good neighborhood watch program.
Absolutely.
That's gotten started again with the extra money. Can you talk a little bit about that? And
you know, having the resources,
volunteers,
right. So, you know, we have a pretty dedicated volunteer force too that we wouldn't want to overlook. Those people are out there, everything from office work to out doing various things, patrolling the neighborhood, checking on your house when you're on vacation, things you would expect in a small town. And that still lives on in Anderson today. Darn it, I lost the question.
Neighborhood Watch.
Thank you, Neighborhood Watch. So we actually have a dedicated officer that's in charge of the Neighborhood Watch program. They will come out and meet with what we call your neighborhood captain and the neighborhood and talk to them about the program and how to facilitate it. With today's modern cell phones and email and websites, there's all kinds of additional tools to help a neighborhood keep their neighborhood safer. But also then that allows us to pull all the neighborhood captains together and form a little bigger unit and offer some training and allow people to know what's happening in either an adjoining neighborhood or across town and what's going on and really keep them informed and help keep their neighborhood safer.
Well, and because the reality is, even though we like to think we live in a nice, safe little community down there, it is what it is. And the problems that the county is having and the city of Redding's
having.
They're
universal.
With the homeless issue and the people with the unemployment rate is low. Or is higher than we'd like it to be.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what the good administration in Washington D.C. would like us to think, it's just a lot of people aren't looking for a job anymore. It doesn't mean that we've solved that problem. So there's a lot of people out there that our neighborhoods are not as safe as they used to be, and we need to continually remind ourselves that we need to lock our doors and we need to pay attention to what's happening in our neighborhood.
Well, people need to be diligent about their safety. I think you saw something, it was here at the Walmart in Reading recently about people going by cars and pulling stuff out of cars, and we can't impress on you enough. Do things yourself to make yourself safer. Don't leave your purse in view in your car or a laptop or a phone. Don't give them any easy targets because it's very easy in today's world for thieves to break in and do things. But the other thing is we hear a lot about, you know, Prop 47, AB 109, and Anderson. Yeah, those are things that are out there. But what's important is our police department is doing things. We didn't pass those things, but it's just a fact of life. Here's how we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
We're out there dealing with those issues. It's just a part of life, and so be it. But it doesn't mean it's gotten worse. Actually, crime's gotten better in Anderson. If you've seen the story, I believe, in Sunday's paper, and this is attributed to Measure A, our crime's down 20%. But we have more people on the street. Again, we try to be very proactive in what we do, and we are still a small town. When you call Shascom or 911, you're going to get an officer as soon as we can to what your call was about.
One of the things that the chief talked about a while back, and because there was an issue for a while, as there is in a lot of the shopping centers in Redding and elsewhere in Shasta County, with people hanging around like the Safeway Shopping Center and what have you. I remember at that time he came to the council with some new little ordinances.
We've passed various ordinances to try and give our officers local codes to help them with those situations. And whether we're working with a local business and they've given us a no trespass letter, you know, that they want that dealt with, there are tools in our toolbox that allow us to facilitate success in those situations. Look for more, though. I think there's a couple cities in Oregon that I've actually seen that have been able to do some ordinances to deal with the panhandling on the corners. And it's actually a sign and gives motorists some direction about not handing stuff off. And it's something I'm looking at right now. How do we deal with that situation? It's current in our times, but it creates other safety issues.
It absolutely does.
And so look for that to come to council in the coming months to an idea on how to deal with that.
Well, you know, anything that we can do, and I can't reiterate enough, I see it happen on many, many occasions. Health clubs are one of the areas where women make a mistake of, they jump out of the car. Everybody knows a woman has a purse of some kind. You have to have a driver's license. You have to have all these things. When you jump out of your vehicle in an outfit that leads, I mean, no, you know, you haven't got anything on underneath it. I mean, you've got, you know, a gym outfit on.
Yeah, people can see you're not carrying anything.
You're not carrying anything, and you jump out with your keys in your hand and run in. They know you're going to be in there, number one, a minimum of an hour. And number two, your wallet is in your purse or in your car.
Yeah,
they do it at the walking trails. And I've heard both the police chiefs talk about this. They have regular break-ins at all the regular walking areas, gym clubs on a regular basis. Because people just, I mean, you're being stalked.
Yeah.
When you go in there.
The other one that people really need to be aware of, they think they're doing a great thing, is they'll pull up into a regional center of some kind, and they'll open their trunk, and they'll put their stuff in the trunk, all while somebody watched it.
Exactly.
And they're not going to break into your trunk. They're going to break your window and pop your trunk. And so be mindful of what you're doing, because you never know who's watching. You know, make the odds go in your favor. And probably my young girls are the worst, because, you know, oh, I put it in the trunk. Well, everybody just saw you put it in the trunk. So, you know, be smart of what you do.
But exactly. I've said, and I do it. If I'm out shopping, and I'm not a great shopper, so this doesn't happen often, but if I am in a mode of like Christmas shopping or what have you, put something in the trunk of the car, I'll get in the car and I'll drive if it's just to the other side of the parking lot.
Exactly.
Just because, so that I don't want that person, whoever saw me, load up a bunch of stuff from Macy's in the back of my car. I think what we have to remind ourselves always is to personal responsibility.
Absolutely. And you need to know, we're aware of that in Anderson. We're trying to run our officers through the parking lots, though, to keep that element of bay and create that safety that we want in our small town. Remember, our Walmart's still open 24 hours a day, and that's part of, you know, what our police officers are doing. They're keeping that safe so that store can remain open 24 hours a day.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back as soon as we've heard from these sponsors.
The Gray Bear Show, Dakota Fred of Gold Rush fame, Tough Shed's Ultimate Man Cave, 220-foot super zip line, laser tag, sea breacher, genovator, splash dogs, kids trout fishing pond, rock climbing wall, bass fin fishing demonstrations. All this and more as Crown Motors presents the premier event sport enthusiasts look forward to every year, the 30th annual NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show, this Friday through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Anderson. All new with acres of fun and entertainment for the whole family, featuring the latest in sport and recreation accessories, displays, demonstrations, and once-a-year-only show prizes on boats, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, fishing tackle, guns, auto accessories, wildlife art, camping, and RV accessories. Hundreds of exhibits, exclusive show prices, backcountry horsemen, and free senior Friday evening with free admission for seniors 65 and over from 3 to 7 p.m. There's something for everyone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The annual NorCal Boatsport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by Tri-Counties Bank, Coors Light, Action News Now, and this radio station.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side, but I'm angry.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. This is Trish Clark, and no, it's not Thursday. Linda and Carl are down on assignment out of the area today, and so I'm filling in. And I have, as my guest this morning, the city manager from the city of Anderson, my hometown. So we're just talking about all good things in the South County. If you've got a comment you'd like to, or a question, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. So, Jeff, I just read in the paper about the Anderson Teen Center, and I haven't kept up with that. What's going on with the Anderson Teen Center?
So it's a great little jewel we have there on East Center Street. They share the building with Shasta County Public Health, or Health and Human Services, I believe is the correct name now. And so they have a great after-school program there during the school year. I think they're running 40 to 50 kids a day, and they have all kinds of activities. Actually been through there and toured it recently. They have everything from cooking to various educational things, and just making sure we as a community have spots where our young people can go is a fantastic thing. And actually the grand jury in last year's report noted that Anderson had these things and kind of gave us an accommodation for those kind of things. And, you know, we can't have enough good things like that in our town. There's also a wonderful after school program, up at the high school too. So two great programs in our town for the kids.
And this project on East Center Street, which is where the Children's Center is, that was a project between Shasta County and the city of Anderson.
Absolutely.
And that was like in 2006.
Yeah, 05-06 time frame.
05-06, right. Because it was just before I got out. In fact, I have one of the bricks for the grand opening. It was just before I got off the council or off the board of supervisors.
That was actually an excellent redevelopment project. What redevelopment was supposed to be doing, that's the, you know, the textbook version of what you were supposed to be doing, and it's unfortunate that program went away because that's a really good example of how those tax dollars were used.
In some instances, but you're right, that's exactly how it was supposed to be used. The reason it went away, quite frankly, Jeff, is because up and down the state of California, redevelopment funds were not used in an appropriate way.
Absolutely.
And it became a big slush fund for a lot of cities.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately.
And very badly abused program, and I always hated that because we had several projects in Shasta County where there was cooperative efforts that use that money in a really good way to do a lot of good things.
Well, a source of funding that's needed for those kind of things.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it doesn't exist nowadays. Okay. So.
Okay, so we're going to have to go to the we're going to go to the phone because we have a call from Dale. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Trish. You have to go to me? Really?
No, and I corrected that. I know we have to. We want to.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Dale?
I'm good. I just wanted to kind of chime in real quick. Our group, Shasta Support Service, has done some, done some cleanups down in the Anderson area, and I just want to give a big shout out to how great Jeff, Chief Johnson, the whole staff, city council, everybody has been to work with. It's just so great to see a town that gets it and cares about their town and is trying every single thing they can to make it better and listening to what the people want. Kind of like the spending the money from the sales tax to, when they work with our group, what else can we do better? It's just been a joy. I'll tell you, if I very much consider selling my house here in Reading and moving to Anderson.
Trish, we're going to get Dale back in Anderson.
Yeah, good, because we like Dale.
Well, we love Dale. Dale and Shasta Support Services, and I don't think enough people know about what they're doing. They're taking their own time and helping clean up transient camps and trash that's been left by others, both on public and private property. In our case in Anderson, it's been some private property issues, but they care about the community. They're dedicated to making it better, and I can't say enough good things about Shasta Support Services and what they're doing. They are literally cleaning up thousands of tons of trash left behind by transients or illegal campers in all of our communities. And they are a godsend to the city of Anderson and the properties they've helped us on.
Well, Dale, is there a number where somebody can reach you if they have something they'd like you to take a look at?
We're on Facebook. I don't really want to give my personal.
Okay,
cell phone
sure. Yeah, Shasta Support Services.
Shasta Support Service. Plural.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah. All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate all the kind words,
no problem.
And I agree with you. It's a great
everything
thing.
Anderson's doing.
All right.
Thanks, Dale.
Bye-bye. You know, of course, I can't do a show about Anderson without throwing in the jewel of in the city of Anderson, the Frontier Senior Center.
Absolutely.
Which is again, you know.
Well, just as we have the teen center, we have the senior center, the Frontier Senior Center, a wonderful gem for the city of Anderson. And, you know, I'm in Rotary. We meet there every Wednesday night, so it's used for all kinds of things. But, again, a town of 10,000, we have a teen center. We have after-school activities. We have a wonderful park system, and we have a senior center. I mean, it's just wonderful to see, though, that we've got it covered from A to Z.
And it always has been through the partnerships that you talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
The Frontier Senior Center was purchased originally with a grant, a community development block grant through the city of Anderson.
Correct.
That cooperative effort between that nonprofit group and the city that made that happen. It's now run by a nonprofit organization with no government monies coming in on a regular basis.
It's not subsidized at all. It's fantastic.
No, absolutely not. But if we need help from the city or your Rotary, the Anderson Rotary Club has met there, has been our continual partner since the opening of that. I just want to remind everybody that we have our 20th anniversary coming up, 20 years this
wow.
year. So we're going to be having a big celebration on May 14th. So everybody mark that on your calendar. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but we're going to do something, an open house and celebrate the Frontier Senior Center and because it's been there 20 years now without government programs, without it. When we have a few, we have the lunch program that we contract with Shasta Senior Nutrition. But beyond that, it's really supported by the community through the nonprofit.
Monthly breakfast.
The monthly breakfast, the thrift store that we run. Speaking of which, the monthly breakfast is coming up this Sunday, first Sunday of every month, and that's from 8 to 11, and you need to come down and join us. But, and there's all kinds of, you know, programs going on there at the Senior Center for all the South, and it's for the full South County. We take in the Cottonwood Seniors in Happy Valley. We have all kinds of programs going on, exercise programs, computer programs,
bingo.
The lunch program.
Bingo, goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, we have the baby bingo is all we have left. We don't have bingo anymore because we just don't have the big bingo program. But we do have the computer classes, which are great. Exercise.
Absolutely.
It's available for rent if you have an upcoming wedding or reunion, anything like that out there. Our prices are reasonable, and you have an absolutely beautiful facility.
It's really something you need to go by and see because driving by, you don't understand, one, how large it is, and in the big dance room and the eating hall and the kitchen. You got to go by and see it.
You know, I recently, and they're probably listening, Rally Sally and Terry, I had a conversation, and Sally came down. They were looking about possibly meeting in our facility, and we're sorry they didn't choose to do that. But anyway, she came down, and she was blown away, and I couldn't believe she'd never been there.
Mm-hmm.
She had never been there, didn't have any idea what kind of a great facility
People need to know. It's kind of tucked in behind New Tech High School there. And just a wonderful facility.
And a lot of people drive up and they think we're like, it's got an old town motif that looks like it's a whole bunch of buildings, but it's really just one big building. And people will come in and think they're just coming in to an office or something. And then as they wander around, find out that we are the whole thing.
That's a fabulous facility.
Yeah, it is. It is great. But I think it's a great example of what a small town can do if everybody puts their ego in their back pocket and forgets about who gets credit for what and just, you know, does what the community
makes
needs.
Makes it happen.
Makes it happen, absolutely. And it's a big thing. Final thoughts that you'd like to throw in? Oh, I know. We've got it's city council election coming up in November.
Exactly.
We have 3 seats. The city council has been doing a really good job of working with the community down there. There will be
absolutely.
3 seats available.
Very proud of them.
Yeah, coming up in November.
Correct.
So if you're at all interested in being a part of this wonderful city and think that's something you'd like to do, that's what elections are about. It's always good to get people out. That's our opportunity to do a check and you know, do a report card on the people that we have elected.
Right. If you're not interested in city council, though, come by and see me. We have all kinds of commissions and boards and things. We're always looking for people and people who are interested in government.
Well, and if you're, you know, I always remind people that if you're just sitting there listening and you've got time on your hands and you're not involved in volunteering in some capacity within your community, you're really missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
You get way more out of it than you put into it.
Well, and Anderson's got a lot of that, though, and that's what makes it such a great community.
And it's fun to be able to actually listen to the news and read the paper and actually know what's going on, be on the inside and figure out, I know what's happening there, and I was a part of that. And it's a great feeling to be a part of your community.
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
So we are going to come back. I thank you, Jeff, for being my guest this morning. We've got on the other side of the break, we are going to be talking to a candidate for the U.S. Senate, Thomas Del Beccaro. He's a proponent of flat tax and the comprehensive water plan for California. He's got some good credentials, and he's going to be running for Barbara Boxer's seat in the upcoming election. And we know it's a difficult time it's going to not be the easiest thing in the world to do, but we would love to have a Republican back in Washington to bring some common sense and perhaps less bureaucracy to the state of California. But that would be great, so we're looking forward to that interview. And so, this is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State, and we'll be back after these breaks.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. There's a lot at stake today in the delegate-rich Super Tuesday primary.
But the brightest light will shine on Texas, with 155 GOP delegates up for grabs. Ted Cruz, the junior senator from the Lone Star State, is feeling the pressure to perform, and some experts say if he doesn't win his own state, his campaign may not be over, but he'll find it tougher going forward. State officials moved Texas primaries from late May to early March so as to be part of the decision-making process. Texas joins 11 other states and American Samoa in holding primaries on Tuesday. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Political analyst Larry Sabato says he's not surprised that an Associated Press survey of Republican senators and governors across the country showed just under half would not commit to backing Donald Trump even if he is nominated.
The Republican Party may be headed for a crack-up. This is extraordinary. We haven't had a party implode like this in a long time.
Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump both seeking to solidify their positions as a clear party frontrunners. Clinton challenger Bernie Sanders and Trump rivals Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz trying to remain viable even if they come up short of an outright victory today. U.S. construction spending increased in January by the largest amount in 8 months.
The Commerce Department says construction spending rose by 1.5% in January. It's the biggest gain since May of last year and follows a 0.6% increase in December. The advance pushed total spending to a seasonally adjusted $1.14 trillion in January, the highest level in more than 8 years. Analysts say weakness in home building was offset by a solid rebound in non-residential activity.
That's Jeremy House reporting. The manufacturing sector continues to get smaller. The Institute for Supply Management says its manufacturing index actually rose last month, but at 49.5 still signals contraction on that scale. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, a classroom answer could cost Grace Wesley everything.
They're looking to destroy you.
I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
God's Not Dead, too. In theaters April 1st, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes available at godsnotdead.com.
More than 7,000 refugees and other migrants still camped on Greece's northern border with Macedonia, unable to leave.
Something bad is going on.
People go to the border, they will jump over the border, they will do whatever to cross the border.
That is one of the refugees involved. He says some have been stuck there for several days. Congress calling on Iran to do more to help find a retired FBI agent who's been missing for nearly 9 years.
By voice vote, the House passed a resolution pressuring Iran to honor its pledge to help find Robert Levinson. Florida's Ileana Ross-Layton noting the families received pictures suggesting Levinson's being held captive, but
the Iranian regime's continued failure to honor its commitment and promises to assist in Bob's case and to help bring him home have left them without a father, without a husband, without a friend for nearly 3,300 days.
That is a report from Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. Supreme Court decides not to hear a dispute over California's system for notifying people about unclaimed property. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has more.
Justices let stand a lower court ruling that said state officials are making adequate efforts to find the rightful owners of abandoned assets before transferring them to the state. A group of residents had filed a lawsuit claiming it's not enough for the state to mail a notice to the owner's home and publish an ad in a general circulation newspaper. They also argued California is profiting from seizing billions in unclaimed assets and that it should be required to use public databases and other resources to locate potential owners.
That's Linda Kenyon reporting. Automakers reporting their February sales figures, and the numbers are up for the most part. Ford sales rose 20% over last February, while Fiat Chryslers were up 12% and Nissan sales rose nearly 11%. General Motors was the exception. Sales fell 1.5%. More on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. It is Tuesday. This is Trish Clark, because I'm usually here on Thursday. Carl and Linda are out on assignment this morning, and so I'm here in the studio. Had a great guest at the first hour, and we're looking forward to visiting with candidate for U.S. Senate, Tom Del Vaccaro, in this hour. It's 44 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 68, a low of 47, a chance of showers, and then partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon. On Wednesday, we're looking for a high of 70 degrees, mostly sunny, and then a chance of rain. And on Wednesday night, about 49, and rain likely. Showers likely on Thursday, and continuing that pattern throughout the week. About a 50% chance of rain most of the rest of the week. Our weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. If you're out there, jump into our chat room at kcnr1460.com. Or if you have a call for this U.S. Senate candidate, give us a call at 605-4567. And we'll go now to Mr. Del Vaccaro. Good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well. Disappointed that you're not in studio with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've sort of become ill. It's the all this traveling, and I didn't want to infect you.
I appreciate that.
If you've got that cough, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much.
So, thanks for having me on. It's great to be up in the North State. You know, I've traveled 54 of the 58 counties over the years, and California needs different policies. It's not fair what Sacramento and Washington are doing to Californians. We need to restore prosperity. We need to have a comprehensive water plan, and we need to give people the ability to succeed instead of more regulations and taxes.
I couldn't agree more. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, and why in the world you've taken this on.
Yeah, I've been a writer of history and columns publicly for about 15 years now. I did it long before that, but not a lot of published stuff, things. I write for Forbes. I write a lot about economic policy and how it affects society at large. My current book is The Divided Era, explains how ever larger government divides us in a competition for spoils. And so when the race opened up a year ago, people asked me whether I would be interested in it. And the truth is my life ambition, or one of my purposes, is to get people to understand that complex tax codes are harmful. And there's a lot of people who don't understand that, and or just refuse to take a look at the facts. But our tax system is not only abusive in the form of IRS abuse, but it's destroying prosperity. And until we restore prosperity in this country, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We cannot survive at 2% growth where we are now. It has to go back up to 4% or everything goes by the wayside. Social Security can't be funded. Medicare can't be funded. Our defense can't be funded. So my life mission is to work on those prosperity issues. That's why I write for Forbes and other magazines. And the Senate race coincided with that mission.
Do you have, I read your bio a little bit, and there's actually, which is a plus in my mind, but there's no political involvement other than you've been involved with the Republican Senate, or Republican State Committee.
Yes.
But you've never served an elective office, is that true?
It is true. I have always been a proponent of ideas, not of my getting a job at the other's expense. And so I never thought I would run for office. In the last 15 years, that wasn't my plan. But if you look at the United States today and the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives and even our presidential candidates, they're failing to win the prosperity argument. I mean, the rise of Bernie Sanders should be alarming for many reasons, not the least of which is a gross misunderstanding of how the economy works and the value of free enterprise and the value of the private sector. Obviously, Hillary doesn't understand that. I mean, she said out loud, corporations don't create jobs.
I know.
Before that, we had Obama saying, you didn't build that. And that tells you where the center of discussion has moved over the years, and we can't live within that center and still be the same country we are or have been in the past.
Well, I believe we're almost at a point where Margaret Thatcher's words are going to take over, and the problem with socialism that is that eventually you run out of other people's money.
Yeah, no question about it. More than half of Americans today are reliant on some form of a government check. That includes 22 million people working for government. More than a third of Americans on means-tested welfare, the promises we've made for Medicare and Social Security, and all the people doing business with government. Well, I don't think you have to be a math major to figure out that if you exceed 50% of the people relying on a government check, that you can't go on, that the economy won't work. And that's why we're at $19 trillion in debt and growing fast. And so we need to get the economy moving again. We need to get less people on social welfare if we're going to, you know, maintain our standard of living in this country, and if we're going to continue to lead the free world, because you cannot have a strong defense and a weak economy over time.
No, you absolutely can't. And we've proven over the last 7 years that we have neither. So,
yeah.
The question I was going to ask just went out of my mind. You've talked about water issues a lot and said that you had a comprehensive water plan for the state of California.
Well, you know, the environmental left and Sacramento have mismanaged our water resources in this state. We have infrastructure that was originally intended under the first Governor Brown, Pat Brown, for about 25 million people. We're now, and that would be a high. Some say it was as low as 20. Now we have in the mid-30s, and they expect to go to 50. Our existing water system isn't enough for that. And there are those on the left who understand the principle that if you build it, they will come, and so they do everything they can to stop the building of water infrastructure. And what does that mean for real people? That means real people aren't getting the water allocations they need. There are places in East Porterville where they outright don't get water on a daily basis, where even our electricity issues. related to that. So are we going to have a prosperous state or not? And the only way we can do that is to get water to people. Now, 50% of the water goes out to the ocean. I jokingly tell people, Jerry Brown tells me that the ocean's rising, so why are we sending all that water into the ocean? The fact is they're doing it because they want environmental reasons and human beings don't qualify. But we can solve this crisis very easily. Step one is to recognize that it is not the lack of rain from the clouds, but the lack of common sense in Sacramento. Step two is to begin to fix it by, for instance, the biggest wasters of water in California happen to be the municipalities, the water districts, with their aged pipes. They leak up to 16% of the water in the state, and the residents only use 14. But there's no plan to fix those pipes. So there should be a comprehensive statewide plan put into place to fix older pipes. That's those real shovel-ready jobs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, in and of itself, if we could drop that, because remember, the rationing program is only scheduled to get us from about 14% residential use to about 10. But if we fixed the pipes in this state over 5 years, that would get us from about 16 in waste to about 8, which is double the rationing. We live up, you live up north here. A lot of people know that if we had healthy forest practices, thinned the forests out, cleared some of the underbrush, reduced the fire danger, hired people to do it, there would be massive additional runoff.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and continue this discussion on the other side.
8:15 on KCNR 1460. It is 45 degrees in Redding. And on Thursday, head on down to Wind River Casino and Resort to join Linda for a fabulous evening with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. That's right, our very own Linda Bot, singing and entertaining you from 7 to 9. Wine, dine, and dance the night away. Elements Lounge and Wind River Casino. Give them a call to make your reservation at 243-3377. That's Thursday night, Elements Lounge, 243-3377. 3377.
Show Dakota Fred of Gold Rush fame, Tough Shed's ultimate man cave, 220-foot super zip line, laser tag, sea breacher, genovator, splash dogs, kids trout fishing pond, rock climbing wall, bass fin fishing demonstrations. All this and more as Crown Motors presents the premier event sport enthusiasts look forward to every year, the 30th annual NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show, this Friday through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Anderson. All new with acres of fun and entertainment for the whole family, featuring the latest in sport and recreation accessories, displays, demonstrations, and once-a-year-only show prizes on boats, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, fishing tackle, guns, auto accessories, wildlife art, camping, and RV accessories. Hundreds of exhibits, exclusive show prices, backcountry horsemen, and free senior Friday evening with free admission for seniors 65 and over from 3 to 7 p.m. There's something for everyone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The annual NorCal Boatsport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by Tri-Counties Bank, Coors Light, Action News Now, and this radio station.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids?
We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
KCNR time is 8:19. This portion of the program, sponsored by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. Yeah, I agree. Outstanding service to all makes and models in heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week, 24-hour service, Alliance Heating and Air. Call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
And this is Trish Clark, and it's Tuesday morning, and you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State, and our guest, Tom DelBaccaro, who is running for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Senator Boxer. We were leaving, and before we go back to Mr. DelBaccaro, I'm going to ask Bob for a Shasta Lake update.
Well, it's tapered off a little bit as we haven't had a whole lot of rain in the last several days. However, the lake did come up a little more than a quarter of a foot. That puts us now 997 feet above sea level. That means we are 70 feet from the top, which is a pretty good improvement over what we saw just 2 months ago.
There you go. So, Mr. DelBaccaro, when we left, you were talking about what used to be our main industry up here, the timber industry, and the impact that this water situation has had on that and how we could do so many things within our forest to improve that.
Yeah, absolutely. Our forests are overgrown because a combination of state and federal policies. They don't want us to, quote-unquote, access it. They think, you know, they don't trust man to be doing these things. And in the process, they've let them become overgrown. They're a much higher fire danger. The trees are less healthy. You know, you would think they would care about the forest, but the trees are less healthy because they're growing thinner and in a race to the sky to get more sunlight. And also, the collateral damage from that is overgrown forests use much more water, and therefore you have much less runoff, than you otherwise would. And we could help solve the entire statewide water crisis by simply allowing healthy forest practices, thin the forests out, put people to work, increase runoff, and that can go into our reservoirs that you just mentioned and to help feed the Central Valley. And
manage our forests. What a unique concept.
What'd you say?
Manage our forests. What a unique concept.
I mean, and now you have these ferocious fires that burn far more than should be, right?
Absolutely.
And far more dangerous to people, in addition to all the unemployment that's caused by not allowing the forest industry to survive in many cases, and by not allowing the additional runoff. These are all very dumb policies that need to be changed, and you need an advocate statewide, someone who's going to say not just what's wrong with their efforts to, you know, save the Delta smelt, or not one person saying what's wrong with the forest policy, but someone saying what's wrong with all of these policies.
Well, and interestingly enough, because we have not had any Republican representation in the U.S. Senate for many, 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 many years, the only voice that's coming from that segment of the state of California is the environmental voice through Senator Feinstein and Boxer, and with no other side to counter it ever in the discussions.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, and that's the one-party rule problem. But regardless, everyone who's hearing my voice needs to talk about these issues, because when everyday voters figure out or find out the truth about our water policy, then they get angry about it, and they should get angry about it because it doesn't have to be this way. It's the same thing with our federal tax policy. Reasonable people have learned long ago that the higher the tax rate, the less productive society is. That's why I'm a proponent of a flat tax. We should have a vibrant society where people are able to, pursue their happiness, their life's work. But with the tax system today, over 40 years, the growth in taxes, debt, and regulations have meant that our economic growth rate is below 2%. That's not good enough. These are policies that can be changed, but we need advocates for those change.
I know during this election, listening to the various candidates for U.S. president on the Republican side, several of them have alluded to tax plans, flat tax, 1%, this and that, all kinds of different plans. Are you an advocate of a certain plan that actually is written down that people could study?
Sure, absolutely. They could go to TomDell.com. I'm the only U.S. Senate candidate in America with his own flat tax. I worked that out with my economic advisor, Stephen Moore. My flat tax is supported by Steve Forbes, Art Laffer, Stephen Moore, Larry Kudlow. I was endorsed by Tom McClintock. All of these people see the sensibility in a simple flat tax, which works like this. You know, I have a 15.5% net business income rate, which means if you own a business, your profit is taxed at 15.5%, but you don't have extended depreciation schedules or a difficult time figuring out your tax. Because if you buy a vehicle for your business today, you have to depreciate that over a long period of time. What that means is, even though the truck costs you X amount of dollars, you're only allowed to deduct a portion of that.
Right.
Well, that makes no sense. So if you have immediate expensing like I do under my plan, you pay less taxes, which means that you have more of an ability to buy things and help the economy expand.
And is there a ratio of if you make less money, you pay less, or is it a certain percentage?
Well, that's for individuals. No family of four pays tax until it's above $48,000.
Okay.
Which in effect amounts to a small tax cut for the middle class, but what you want is an expanding economy. Once the economy starts expanding significantly, then wages go up and people start making more money. But if they're making money or getting more money because they have a better job, people are happy to move up the ladder. And the ladder has become frozen over the last 20 years. With growth rates in the last 7 years below 2%, you know what that has meant? That not for the bottom 90% of America, that means their income has actually dropped $1,600 a year.
That's exactly right. And people keep talking about. I found it interesting that in fact that they indicated for federal retirees and Social Security recipients that there was no cost of living raise this year because the cost of living had not risen. However, they were just able to give themselves a raise in the House and Senate back there, cost of living raise. How did that work?
You know, the one of the most well-to-do places in the country today is around Washington, D.C. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out that they are living off the system and we are not. And this can't go on. We need to decentralize government, and we need to get the economy moving again. And there's no great mystery on how to do this.
No, there isn't.
You know, you hear the Democrats saying, oh, same old plans. Well, you know what? For thousands of years, wise rulers have realized that they've grown government too much, grown taxes too much, grown regulations too much, and that if you want to give people incentives again to achieve, you've got to reduce those things. It works.
Yes.
And we need advocates for that.
So, this is such a big bite in a big state. How do you go about putting together an organization to run a statewide race for U.S. Senate in Democratic state?
Yeah, isn't that the hardest question? Well, first of all, you need a message. If you're not actually speaking with a clear message, you're not going to inspire enough people to get involved. And I'm the only candidate running on very specific issues, the water issue with a specific plan, the tax issue, that type of thing. So you need message. And then you're talking about messengers. I need as many volunteers as humanly possible to go around. Even if I wasn't running for this race, we need people to start to pay attention to these issues and to talk to their neighbors about it. You know, in the late 70s, Howard Jarvis was able to change the state with Prop 13 and even the country, and you can make the argument for the world, because when he put Prop 13 into force, and then Reagan was able to ride that tax-cutting wave to become president, and look at all the things that he did. Well, Howard Jarvis didn't do that with the help of Sacramento. Both the Republicans and the Democrats were against him. He did it through grassroots organization, people signing up. This is, by the way, before the Internet.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So he did it with word of mouth and the phone. There wasn't even a mobile phone back then. So you got to have a message that inspires people to become messengers, and those messengers need to get involved. And they can do that at TomDell.com.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and get into some more questions that we've got that are coming in through the chat room.
This portion of Free Fire Radio is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, senior and veterans discounts. Shasta Gas Propane, it is 47 degrees in Redding, and Free Fire Radio continues after this.
Don't miss it, the Redding Gun Show, this weekend only. Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammo, and, of course, reloading supplies. This weekend only, the Redding Gun Show at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs, or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
It's villainous fun at the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino Year to Remember, Saturday, March 5th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentation, and silent auction. Join us as we recognize amazing organizations, with one receiving an additional gift. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. So channel your favorite villain for the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Year to Remember, Saturday, March 5th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center, because there is one in all of us. For more information, call 242-4516.
For 45 years, the Redding Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit RedingCivic.com or the box office to become a Redding Civic member.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
833 KCNR 1460. This portion of the program brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading, 244-9478. Great place to get a haircut. And a proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio, Cypress Square Barbershop.
And this is Trish Clark, and it is Tuesday morning, and we're live this morning, and we have on the phone with us a candidate for U.S. Senate, Mr. Tom DelBaccaro. You can give us a call at 605-4567 if you have a question for the candidate, or we have a question coming from the chat room, Bob.
Yes, well, and also personally, to quote Ken Murray, I have a question. That question being, I don't know if you've noticed, Tom, but the veterans community is somewhat huge up here, and there's a lot of issues on a national and regional scale with all things veterans, from the scandals at the VA, delay, deny until they die has been the mantra of the VA for quite some time. And veterans here are going to want to ask you, what is your awareness of the veterans' issues, and frankly, what do you plan on doing about it?
Well, it's pretty horrific, is really the only word you can describe. I mean, the VA scandal is, I mean, it's hard to fathom that people could, that government could be so lacking in care for other human beings that they could let this go on. I mean, there were people there who knew exactly what was going on. And remember, the VA was the left's dream of what good government could be, and it turns out, not shockingly, that government isn't good at doing this, and it's hurting the very people that have really had the hardest jobs in American history, right? Preserving freedom. Real courage is putting yourself in the line of fire. So obviously, step one, the VA needs a massive overhaul. And that means that we should stop relying 100% for medical care on the government for veterans. It's a sin that you can run across the border and get into a hospital, but a vet has to wait. And so the VA system, I'm not saying there shouldn't be any government VA hospitals, but if a veteran has a medical need which cannot be met in a timely fashion by the VA, then that veteran should have the right, just like a Medicare patient would, to go see a private doctor and for government to pick up that tab. We have to revolutionize the system with that important update.
And Tom, it's my understanding that that is the case right now. I mean, that's what the rule says.
No, they don't have, there is not enough care access for them today. Number two, we have to start paying our military people again. You know, they make somewhere between $8 and $20. And yet the left is screaming about minimum wage of $15 as not being, or the current minimum wage as not being a living wage. All right, so, okay, then by definition, what our veterans are receiving or our active duty people,
Is
not a living wage. And they're protecting us. Safety and security should be the government's first job. So they are underpaying people, which also means we need to increase our military expenditures. We are getting to a situation where this is the lowest expenditures for military, yet the world is more dangerous today than it has been in 25 years, 30 years. Since the end of Bush 1. So when you ask, what are you going to do about it, fundamentally, those are the things, the attitudes that must change, and you need an advocate for those changes. I don't think any one person can say all the things necessary to correct the situation, but if you don't start with those fundamental principles about what's wrong with the existing dynamic and what needs to be corrected, then you're not going to make much progress. This isn't some, like, close call. This is way past wrong. way past negligence by government. And so there needs to be a significant overhaul. And one of the first bills that... I don't understand why the House hasn't passed a greater visa reform bill. I'm sorry, not visa. Veterans reform bill last week.
Yeah.
Why haven't they made this? You know, do we have a government that is tending towards Bernie Sanders socialism? Or do we have a society that is based more on the private sector? Why haven't Republicans made this the biggest issue of the race? Because I don't know many people that are against veterans. And yet their situation is dire in many circumstances. So why haven't Republicans made a stand, including the presidential candidates, made a stand and say, this is an example of what goes wrong with massive government, and this is an example of how we can reform things and make it better? That's our choice. The Democrats have a different view.
You know, and I certainly concur with just what you just said.
If you get combat wounded, use your own private insurance, bucko. You volunteered.
Yeah, you knew what you were doing when you volunteered.
Hello.
You know, we go through this. I mean, I think the reflection of the presidential race is clear in the way the public is going at so strongly for Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Two people who really have not been involved in government, and whether there's any rhyme or reason to that, and I'm certainly not saying I support either one or both of them. My point is that the American public is so tired of Washington doing nothing that is available to, we don't see any of it. My opinion, and I'll just rant for a small moment here, we've had 7 years of Mr. Obama standing there with his executive powers and his czars and doing whatever, whenever he wants to, and nobody on the Republican side has tried to call him on anything.
Yeah, this has been a terrible strategic error. 3.5 years ago, I wrote in Forbes that what the Republicans should do, and they should certainly do it from here to Election Day, is once a month put a reform bill on the president's desk, the VA, the post office, the visa system, you name it, and then leave Washington en masse and go around on cable TV, social media, and the rest and explain to people what the VA was originally designed to do, why it's not doing it, how their reform will improve things and save Americans money. And dare the president to veto all of these things. Dare Hillary to say all of these things are bad. And then you can run an election saying, well, if you elect a Democrat president, you won't get these reforms. If you elect a Republican president, you will get these reforms. This is easier to do in the digital age than it was 30 years ago when there was less news outlets and it was easier for the president to have a bully pulpit. The Republicans need to do that, and often they just pass these things and then argue with the Washington Post about it. They need to go out and get the American people behind them, and that is the way that they can start restoring not only the prosperity, but some of the limited government we all crave.
Well, and certainly, you know, we keep electing people and sending them back there, and they talk a good game when they're running for office. They tell us they're going to do all these things, and then when they get back to Washington, D.C., there's I don't know whether they drink the Kool-Aid. I don't know whether they're taken in behind closed doors and brainwashed for a period of time, but they seem to forget everything they said while they were running, and they go back there and they play the political game with the establishment back there, and we never hear from them again.
Yeah, well, a lot of people want to be in office. I want to achieve certain ideas, and the office race coincided with that. But before this race started, I was a proponent for a flat tax and wrote about them. After this race, 10, 20 years from now, if we don't have tax reform, I'll still be arguing with it. So it's a question of what's the person's ambition. Is the person's ambition is a certain achieving a certain idea or running for office?
There you go.
And the likelihood is that they're just running for office is they're going to do what it takes to win office. There's a lot of Republicans in Sacramento that way, at least the consultants. That's not what mine or my family helps start the Conservative Party of New York in the late 60s. we didn't have trouble bucking the system back then, and I don't have trouble bucking it now because they're not coming, they're not pushing a flat tax hard enough, and we need that.
Tom, another question out of the chat room. Let's face it, California is a de facto sanctuary state. Our governor has made that statement. Man who wants to be governor, Mr. Newsom, has pretty much said that, you know, come one, come all, you know, as long as you vote Democrat, you're welcome into the state of California. What do we do about immigration?
Well, actually, we are a sanctuary state. The Trust Me Act, as it is called, was passed, and statewide that creates a sanctuary state. You know, there's two aspects to the immigration issue. There is having a view on it, and then there's this, and then there's the necessity for a political strategy to get something done. So there are several steps and understandings Republicans must have if they want to win on this issue. Number one, they need to stop the omnibus or mega legislation strategy to politics. Massive 2,500 page bills followed by 14 to 30,000 pages in regulations is not good government and contains things that are disastrous. We cannot go down that stretch anymore. Number two, Republicans can win the battle on immigration in the national security age by focusing on the dangers of the northern border, the dangers of our visa system. Remember that San Bernardino woman just lied and made up an address and got into that terrorist, got into the country. The problem isn't just the southern border. It is now everything. And if we cast it in terms that don't point at one sector of society, but the need for all sectors of society to participate in a fix of the problem, we can do better. Recently, I wrote at thehill.com that the Republicans need to push forth a comprehensive visa reform process tomorrow. There's no reason to be waiting on this. You know, when Republicans get asked, what are you going to do with the 12 million, and they sit there and they don't want to offend anybody, so they don't know what to say half the time? Well, 45%, 50%, 40%, it's not really clear, are here on visa overstays. And I don't know any members of the visa overstay party.
There you go.
So there's no reason why we can't say, okay, you 90 days to leave, and then allocate dollars to enforcement and start sending people home.
Okay.
You know who made use of the visa overstay system? The 9/11 perpetrators. Last year we lost track of hundreds of thousands of people after their visa overstay. How is this acceptable in the terrorist age?
It's absolutely not.
We got to take a breakaway here, and we'll be right back.
Tobacco and Brew sponsors this portion of Free Fire Radio. 2143 Hilltop Drive, your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's, serving caramel macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. T&B, where veterans always get discounts. We're going to pay some bills. Be right back. Free Fire Radio.
Ladybot and the Bluebirds, March 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino in Elements Lounge. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me as I sing my favorite jazz standards along with Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, and my special guest, Bernie Baker on guitar. Enjoy the special steak and lobster from the Romance on the River menu. Thursday, March 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. in Elements. Call 243-3377 for reservations today.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The Ethanol Free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
The Gray Bear Show, Dakota Fred of Gold Rush fame, Tough Shed's Ultimate Man Cave, 220-foot super zip line, laser tag, sea breacher, genovator, splash dogs, kids trout fishing pond, rock climbing wall, bass fin fishing demonstrations. All this and more as Crown Motors presents the premier event sport enthusiasts look forward to every year, the 30th annual NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show this Friday through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Anderson. All new with acres of fun and entertainment for the whole family, featuring the latest in sport and recreation accessories, displays, demonstrations, and once-a-year-only show prizes on boats, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, fishing tackle, guns, auto accessories, wildlife art, camping and RV accessories, hundreds of exhibits, exclusive show prizes, backcountry horsemen, and free senior Friday evening with free admission for seniors 65 and over from 3 to 7 p.m. There's something for everyone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The annual NorCal Boatsport and RV Show at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by Tri-Counties Bank, Coors Light, Action News Now, and this radio station.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
CareNet Pregnancy Center of Northern California is hosting a community-wide free event on Friday, March 4th at Redding Christian Fellowship Church from 6 to 8:30. Join us for a beautiful evening of worship, presentations from our team, client stories, an open mic for Q&A, as well as a call to action. If you have a heart for celebrating life in our community, we'd love for you to partner with us at this event. Please RSVP at carenetnorcal.org/upcomingevents. Call 530-246-7075.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
10 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock on KCNR. This portion of the program brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane, our firearms dealer choice. When it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on our guns or buying ammo, John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms. And Trish, maybe you should ask our guest about his Second Amendment viewpoint.
I think that's a great idea. This is a Tuesday morning, and it is KCNR 1460 AM radio. And this is Trish Clark. And no, it's not Thursday, because that's my usual day. And I had a couple of people walk by the studio and tell me that I'm just thrown off their whole week, because now it's not Thursday, it's only Tuesday, and they're just really disappointed when they figure that out. Our guest this morning has been U.S. Senate candidate Thomas Del Beccaro, and we've been having a great conversation with him, and let's do talk about that, Tom. Tell us about your Second Amendment stand.
It's in the Constitution. Therefore, there is the Second Amendment. What we really need to do is start winning this issue, because there are those who think that the way you reduce gun violence is to reduce guns, and they have policies like Chicago. There are those that understand that you reduce gun violence by reducing crime, like Rudy Giuliani in New York. And so the left is winning the argument, even among Supreme Court justices, on restricting gun rights, under the false guise of thinking that if you take away guns, you'll reduce gun violence. No, you have to reduce crime if you want to reduce gun violence. So I even if it wasn't in the Constitution and therefore the law of the entire land, doesn't make any practical sense to follow their direction either. Okay. So I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. I understand the cause of gun crime, and I think we who understand and support the Second Amendment need to do a much better job of letting the country understand that when you have really strict gun laws, you get Chicago.
You get a lot more crime.
When you have smarter law enforcement, you get less crime like New York did under Giuliani.
Okay, we have a caller that has a question for you, so we're going to go to Billy Bob. Good morning.
Good morning, Trish. Hey, listen, quick question and comment. I heard an interview over the radio over the weekend with you. And
is this
really
a question for Tom? Hey,
message.
Billy Bob, this is a question for Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard a radio interview over the weekend with you, and I'm really impressed with your message and your critical thinking, and I think you're going to do well representing California, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of feedback in that regard. And then I had a question for you on your comprehensive water. We've got these four dams that they're looking to tear out on the Klamath River, and I'm wondering how much you know about that. And it's going to take government funds out of Congress and everything else to get it done, and that is the biggest mistake we could possibly make with those four dams up there. So good luck
well,
on your campaign.
You,
I really like
thank
your message,
you for the kind
so
words.
Take my answer off here.
Thanks,
yeah, thank you for the kind words. Second, I'm an attorney, so that's a leading question. But third, you're 100% right. And this isn't, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't realize we had extra money to be reducing water storage. All of that is just counterintuitive. And by the way, we need to outfox the left on these issues as well. They always talk about the fact that if you create water storage as something that you're changing the natural environment. As if I live 3 miles, I think, from a reservoir. It's created its own natural environment now. There are species dependent on that particular environment that was created. If we were to tear that dam down, all those species would be harmed. So, it's not enough just to have the view. Of course I'm against Sacramento and Washington wanting to take those dams down. The question is how do we reach enough people to get an understanding about what their overall mission is and how it's actually failing? For instance, take the global warming issue. Even if you believed in that man-made global warming and therefore you're against pollution, then you should be against AB 32 because AB 32, our global warming law, is driving pollution, is driving manufacturing to places that pollute 10 times as much as we do, China and India.
Exactly.
So if your goal is the reduction in climate change, then let's have a rational policy of keeping manufacturing here where we have better pollution technology.
And where we have the controls in place to make sure that they're doing it in an environmentally sound manner.
Yes. So, again, it's not just whether you have a view. Yes, I support the Second Amendment, but it takes a lot more than just support. You got to go out there and you got to make the case to people in a rational way that they can understand. They've outlawed, I mean, why don't we outlaw terrorism? Will that stop it?
No. Yeah.
No, you have to have effective policies, not just say you're for something.
Okay, well, this has been a great conversation this morning, and we've got a few final minutes left here. Give us some points about what if the people are interested, number one, in getting involved in your campaign, how they can get a hold of you and how they can do that. And then final thoughts on why we should, in the North State, get behind a candidate for Tom Del Vaccaro for U.S. Senate.
Well, you can go to tomdell.com, T-O-N-D-E-L.com, and help me out. Look, California should be leading the world in prosperity, but it is not, and it is a simple function of bad policies. And we can change those policies, but we can't rely on people in government to do that. Howard Jarvis didn't rely on people in government to change everything. What he did was he got together as individuals. So when we understand that the nature of government and how it creates cozy positions for people, then we understand that what our job is constantly work to check government. That's our job in a republic. And I've been part of that process for a long time, and whether or not I'd run for U.S. Senate, I'd be part of that process. Whether or not I win Senate, I will be part of that process. And we need more people to get involved with it, sadly. You have to guard freedom at every turn. And you have to support people with actual policies that they want to advance, not their careers. Kamala Harris is about her career. We all know this. So pick candidates, whether it's at the presidential or U.S. Senate level or the city council level, who actually have specific ideas. I'm the most specific when it comes to ideas related to this U.S. Senate race, and I hope people will join me.
Well, it's been a pleasure interviewing you this morning, and I hope to meet you soon, and certainly I hope you'll spend some time up in this, what we believe is the best part of the state of California, up in the North State, the whole different area up here that a lot of people are just unaware that it exists. Carl and Linda will be back tomorrow, I'll be back on Thursday with Sharon Clark, the two Clarks on Thursday. And so I thank you for joining us this morning and invite you to join the station and stay for the follow-up after.
Hey, Tom, real quick before we sign off with you, what's your website?
It's TomDell, TomDell.com. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, Tom, thank you for being on Free Fire Radio. This portion of the program was brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods, operated by father and son team. Ed DeFore and family have been in California for over 8 years. Kyle's a manager out there. It's got a full deli and butcher shop, over 1,000 drinks with 250 beers and 350 liquors and wine options. It's your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. Mighty Fine Foods, corner of 299 in Deschutes.
And thank you for joining us this morning. This has been Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. Miss a day, miss a lot.
But I won't back down.
And KCNR, Shasta Redding.
My ground won't be turned up.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Paul Ryan says the Republican Party does not prey on prejudices. Speaker of the House taking a swipe at GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump.
So what can we in the House do about it? We can offer the people a clear and compelling choice, an agenda based on our principles. We're going to be doing that. Look, I'm going to speak out on behalf of our ideas and our principles all the time, no matter what is happening in any other circumstance.
Trump hopes to sweep 11 states in today's Super Tuesday voting. Alabama voter Jeannie Lindsay says she pulled the lever for Trump.
He's got the guts. He's got the know-how.
Ted Cruz is hoping at the very least to win his home state of Texas.
We are going to have a very good Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday is the busiest day of the 2016 primaries. The Supreme Court, in its first opinion since the death of Justice Antonin Scalia, has upheld a lengthy prison sentence for a man